Number 28 is where we'll be tonight, Exodus chapter number 28. Appreciate the good singing. Appreciate the reminder that God's been good, and that is certainly true. God is mighty good to you and to me. He's blessed us many, many times. Exodus chapter number 28, if you're there and you would like to stand up for just a moment, I'll invite you to do that. Exodus chapter number 28, and we'll read several verses and in your hearing, and then preach for just a minute, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Exodus chapter 28, verse number 1, God's now speaking to Moses. We're on top of the mountain. God says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. These are the garments which thou shalt make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, and a mitre, and a girdle. They shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take blue and gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. They shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, of fine twine linen, of cunning work. And it shall have two shoulder pieces thereof, joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even gold, of blue, of purple, and scarlet, and fine twine linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones." Pay attention to verse 9, please. "And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest of the other on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engraving of a signet. Thou shalt engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. Thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of a memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon the two shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ouches of gold, and two chains of pure gold at the ends of wreathen work shalt thou make them. And fasten the wreathen chains with the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment of cunning work. After the work of the ephod shalt thou make it, of gold, of purple, of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen thou shalt make it. Four square shall it be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set it," now pay attention to verse 17, "and thou shalt set it in settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a liger, an agite, and an amethyst. The fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. The stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are in the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the wreathen chain shalt thou fasten in the two ouches, and put them in the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate and the border thereof, and in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold shalt thou make, and put in the other sides of the ephod underneath toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof above the curious gold of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate and the rings thereof upon the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosened from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And this will be our last verse, verse 30. Pay attention to it, please. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Father, help us for a few minutes, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. The fact that we read 30 verses tonight, don't let that scare you. It'll probably take me longer to read those 30 verses than it will to preach this message. But I wanted you to get the picture of where we're at in chapter number 28. In this chapter, we find Moses on the mountain with God. At this point in the scripture, God has given the law to Moses in chapter number 20. He has also given him the blueprint of the tabernacle and its furniture. And now God is giving to Moses the instruction for Aaron and for his sons. You see, God's intention for the nation of Israel, and really for all people for that matter, God's intention for the nation of Israel was for them to be a kingdom of priests. The goal of God was that the people would follow the law and they would follow God, and the law would lead them in both spiritual and practical matters. And then the priest was to lead the people in this pursuit after God. The priest was to be the leader of God's people. Therefore, God tells Moses that Aaron and his family are to be set apart for the work of this very ministry. Aaron and his sons were to lead the children of Israel. The Levites were to serve the Lord and represent the God to the people and the people unto God. They were called upon to be leaders. They were to teach people the word of God. They were to be examples for all the nation of Israel to follow. Now we know, unfortunately, that they failed in this in many regards, but some of them were great men like Aaron and Eleazar. They were good men that led the people well in the things of God. But when God sets Aaron and his children apart in chapter 28, he does so with an interesting commandment. He said, Moses, I want you to make them some clothes. He said, I want them to look different than everybody else looks. I want them to be set apart. I want them to look different. And I want you to make them an interesting outfit. He tells us in chapter 28 that this clothing was to give them dignity and honor, according to verse number 2. These garments were to reveal to us spiritual truths, as we'll see in just a minute. And then these garments even kept the priests from dying in the ministry work that God had called them into. If you study this chapter, you'll find that there were 7 pieces of clothing that God told Aaron and his sons to wear. They were to wear an undergarment made of linen. Above that, they were to wear a white linen robe. Above that was a blue robe that had bells and pomegranates on the bottom of it. They were to put on the ephod, which was a sleeveless garment of gold and blue and purple and scarlet that was held together by jeweled clasps. They were to wear a girdle around their waist, a jeweled breastplate that was held together with golden chains on their chest. And then they were to wear a white turban, or mitre as the Bible calls it, that had a gold plate on the front of it that said, Holiness unto the Lord. While we read these verses, there is undoubtedly a beautiful picture for us to see in chapter number 28. But there's one particular thing that I want you to see tonight. We could preach piece by piece, and every one of these pieces of clothing would tell us a story of Christ, and it would tell us a story of the church. But there's one thing that caught my attention this week. I guess I've never seen it before. And I want to show you this one thing tonight. When God gives the instructions for these clothes, 3 times God gives instructions for Moses to put stones on their clothing. 3 times God says, take a stone or take a variety of stones and use them in the clothing of Aaron and his sons. Each time God does so, he teaches us a lesson, something that he wants us to see. I've been thinking about these stones this week and in their meaning. And in these, God has painted us a beautiful picture. And I want to preach tonight. This is kind of a long title, and it is actually my points. I want to preach tonight on this thought. I have you on my shoulder, on my heart, and in my pocket. I have you on my shoulder, on my heart, and in my pocket. I've been thinking about these three stones, and in these three stones, I see three pictures. The first picture is the obvious one. It is the foremost one. It is that every one of these stones represent and tell us a story of Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament points us to the one that would come in the New Testament and tells us about Jesus Christ. Secondly, I believe that these stones tell us and give us a picture of what God intends for his man, because it was the priest that he gave this clothing and these stones to. And so God is telling us what he wants from his spiritual leader. The pastor, if you'll let me say it that way, the leader of the church, God says, this is something for you. But thirdly, I see a picture for every child of God. Because according to Revelation chapter number 1, if you have been saved, God has made you a priest unto God. And so therefore there is something in all of this for all of us. Amen. Allow me to show you these three sets of stones tonight, and we'll go to the house. I want you to write this down. Number 1, I have you on my shoulder. I have you on my shoulder. Verse number 8. It says, the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be the same according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, of purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take 2 onyx stones. Here's our first set of stones. Thou shalt take 2 onyx stones, and engrave on them the names of the children of Israel. 6 of their names on one stone, and the other 6 names on the rest of the other stones according to birth. They will be a memorial according to verse number 12. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his 2 shoulders. We're told that when God gave the instruction for this clothing, he gave Aaron an ephod. The word ephod is a Hebrew word, and simply translated, it means a simple sleeveless garment that would attach at the shoulders and it would reach down to their ankles. It oftentimes, the ephod in the pages of the Old Testament represented and was always used for religious work. You remember the story of young Samuel, don't you? When his mother Hannah brought Samuel as just a little boy into the temple, and he ministered there with Eli the priest in the temple. He was a little priest. He was a little man of God, if you'll let me say it that way. And according to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. You see, they would wear this linen, this sleeveless robe, and it represented that they were ministers in God's holy work. The ephod was white and linen. It was beautifully embroidered with blue and purple and scarlet threads. It was a beautiful garment, but here's what I want you to see. On the 2 shoulders of the ephod were 2 onyx stones. On one stone would have 12 of the names of the children of Israel, and on the other stone, or on 6 of the names of the children of Israel, and on the other stone had the other 6 names of the children of Israel according to their birth. And when the priest wore this garment, it is almost like he was literally carrying his brothers and sisters upon his shoulders. I thought about that this week, and it reminds me of the words of the Apostle Paul when he wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2 and said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, it is up to us, and we'll get to this, it is up to us to bear one another on our shoulders. These 2 onyx stones, the Bible says, were to remind the priest as he went into the holy place that the 12 tribes of Israel were precious in the sight of the Lord. They were also to remind him that when he went into the holy place, when he went to do what God had called him to do, he was not there to serve himself, but he was there to serve somebody else. You see, if the church is a holy priesthood, then we must learn this lesson. We must learn to serve someone else. We must learn to minister to someone else. We must learn to love and care and desire the best for others, not just for ourselves. Can I say tonight that that starts with me? It starts with the pastor, the spiritual leader of the church. God has called upon me to serve the Lord on behalf of this congregation. And I consider that one of the greatest honors of my life, to be able to serve God in the capacity that He's called me to serve Him. It is my duty and it is my responsibility, and yea, it is even my privilege to be able to bear my brothers and sisters of Northside Baptist Church on my shoulders when I minister before the Lord. I've had people call me from time to time, and oftentimes they'll call me with something they're dealing with, something they're going through, somebody they need prayer for. And they'll say something like this, and I appreciate it, and I know what they mean when they say it, but they'll say something like this: "Preacher, I hate to bother you, but..." And then they'll tell me what it is that they... And my response is always the same: "You're not bothering me." Because the truth is, you're not bothering me. I consider it an honor to be able to serve this church. I consider it an honor that God has called me and placed me and put me. And what God has given me to do is a great thing. He has called me to bear my brothers and sisters upon my shoulders. To bear you up in prayer. To take you before the Lord. To help you with spiritual truths. But can I say that while it is my honor to serve the Lord and bear you on my shoulders, it is not just my responsibility. Because as priests, as saved individuals, as the children of God, we have all been called into the same ministry of bearing one another. You see, it is your responsibility, just like it is my responsibility. And we are all stronger when we are together and we are bearing one another up before the Lord. This is our duty. This is our responsibility. This is something God has called us to do. But you see, it's interesting. It is not only something God has called us to do, it is something God has illustrated for us. You remember the story in John chapter number 13. When the disciples gather together for that last Passover supper together. And the first Lord's Supper together. And when they gather together in that upper room, the Bible says something very interesting happened. The master become the servant. And the Bible says that Jesus, who was the very God, who was the creator of all, who was their leader, their pastor, He was the man of God. He was God. But the Bible says He took off His garment and He put on a towel and He got down at their feet and He washed the disciples' feet that day. You see, the Lord of all became the servant of all. And in so doing, He gave us a beautiful picture, a beautiful illustration of what we should be. You see, we should be the servant of all. Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, down through verse 9, said, "Look not every man on his own things." See, that's what we do. That's our mentality. I'll take care of old number one. Me, myself, and I, the most important three people in my life. But Paul said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then he gives us an illustration. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So here he is, the one that's equal with God in verse number 6. But verse 7, "but made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant and was like in the fashion of man. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and come obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because he become the servant of all, God hath highly exalted him," verse 9, "and given him a name that's above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow." You see, Paul said we should care about others. I should bear you on my shoulders. I should carry you before the throne room of God. I should come into Northside Baptist Church not with the thought, what can I get out of this, but what can I help somebody else with? Amen. How can I be a blessing to you? I was reading this week in the book of Exodus, and Exodus 24:13, just a simple verse, one you wouldn't pay much attention to, but it's like it screamed at me this week. Exodus 24:13 says, and Moses rose up. God calls him up to the mountain. And Moses rose up and Joshua and his minister Joshua. I'm sorry. It said Moses rose up and his minister Joshua. And Moses went unto the mount of God. Simple verse. Probably doesn't mean anything to you. But that phrase, and his minister Joshua. And I thought about that. His minister Joshua. And here's what I thought. Everybody likes to be the leader. Nobody likes to be the servant. Everybody wants to be the Joshua that marched over the Jordan River with the children of Israel following him. The leader, Joshua. The Joshua that marched around Jericho and said, shout, God's given us. The man, Joshua. But before Joshua was the man, he was the servant for 40 plus years in the wilderness. Just hanging out, just doing whatever the preacher needed him to do. He wasn't number one, he was number two, and he was okay with being number two. Hey, Moses, what do you need today? Hey, preacher, what do you need? What can I do for you? And Moses would go up there with God, and Joshua would just carry his stuff and happy to do it. He was the servant. Number one, I have you on my shoulders. We are to bear one another up, serve one another, be the one that is the support staff for someone else. Number two, not only do I have you on my shoulders, number two, I have you in my heart. Verse number 15 says, and thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod shalt thou make it, of blue, of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen thou shalt make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. Thou shalt set it in settings of stones, and then he lists the stones. In the next verses, and says in verse 21, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engraving of a signet, every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. You see, the breastplate, now we find not only stones on the shoulders, but we find stones on the breastplate. The breastplate was a piece of material that was a piece of fabric that was 9 inches square, and it was folded in double. The breastplate would hang around a chain and was supported with two golden chains. It would hang down upon the chest of Aaron when he ministered before the Lord. And on that breastplate were 12 beautiful jewels, and they were arranged in four rows of threes. And each stone was to represent one of the 12 tribes of Israel. That tells me that if they were the 12 tribes of Israel on his chest, and the Bible even says over his heart is the way it describes it, that he not only carried his brothers on his shoulders, but he bore them upon his heart. You see, his brothers and sisters were not only on his shoulders, but they were always in his heart. These 12 stones served as a reminder that God loved the children of Israel. They were on the heart of God, and God's man was to love them just the same. Philippians chapter 1 verse 7 says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart. You see, this was a great service that he was to bear the love of God to the people and represent the people's love for God. It is my duty and it is your duty to love each other. Not just be the servant of one another, but to love each other. The Bible says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I've talked a lot about love on Sunday mornings, but I'll say this tonight. We are to love each other. That is what God has called us to do. Amen. It's a common phrase, a common saying. You've heard it a bunch of times. Somebody will say, you've probably said it to someone else, I've had you on my heart. And when we say that, what we mean by that is, I've been thinking about you. Is that not what we mean? That's what we mean. We mean, I've been thinking about you. Maybe it means I care about you. But I believe for us to have someone on our heart is deep, it is genuine, it is real, it is a concern that we have for them. It means I love you. It means that my heart is weighted down for you. When you are burdened and you are struggling and you are hurting, that is heavy on my heart. I am bearing that with you. I have you on my heart. You see, that's what God has called upon all of us to do. A good illustration of this is in Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6. It's the story of the feeding of the multitude. The Bible says that Jesus tells his disciples to go into a solitary place, in a desert place, and they're going to rest there. Two things have happened that lead up to this. First of all, they've been busy in ministry and they're tired. And number two, John the Baptist has just been killed. They're hurt. So here they are, Brother Scott, they are hurt and they're wounded and they're tired. And Jesus says, let's take a break. Let's take a vacation. And they said, this is a good time for a break. Good time for a break. And so they go into that solitary place, in that desert place. Just about the time they start to relax, they're probably sitting out on the balcony of their motel. And in the distance, they see a crowd coming. There's a multitude wanting to be ministered to. Jesus, he never turns down the opportunity for ministry, so he ministers to them. It gets late in the evening, and the disciples come to Jesus, and they say, hey, could you do us a favor, Lord? Could you send them away? Tell them to go into the city and buy them some bread. It's getting late. They need to go. Remember, we're here to rest and recuperate. Could you send them away? But the Bible says that Jesus, and this is the words the Scriptures use, but Jesus had compassion on them. You know what that means? It means he loved them. I'll say it this way because it's in my text. He had them on his heart. And so often we're more like the disciples than we are the master. Somebody needs something and we're busy and we're tired and we're doing this and we're doing that. But we should follow the illustration of Christ and have concern for others, love others, care about others. It's interesting when you read the description of the stones given to us in chapter 28. No two stones are the same. Every stone is different and unique. Now, if these stones represent the tribes of Israel, you know what that suggests to us? That suggests that not everyone that we minister to is the same. There is certainly a variety of people in the world, and there is certainly a variety of people in the church. This was certainly true of the tribes of Israel. Some of the tribes were quick to fight. Others preferred to stay home. Some of the tribes were easy to get along with and work with. Others liked to argue and tried to take charge all the time. Yet the Lord loved all of them, and the priest was to minister to all of them. Can I say to myself that it is my job to care about all the people of the church? No two families are the same. No two people are the same. Everybody is unique and everybody is different. Isn't that right? In fact, if I went to church with only those people that were just like me, I would have a congregation of one. And as a priesthood of believers, we must learn to minister and show the love of Christ to everyone. You see, we can't just love those that we find lovely. We can't just love those we like. We can't just love those that are like-minded. We must be willing to love all our brothers and sisters the same. The Lord asked the question and then give the principle in Luke 6, 32 through 33. He said, if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you have hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But he said in verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, for your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God loved the world. Every individual one of us. And we must love just the same. I have you on my shoulder. I have you on my heart. Last of all, I have you in my pocket. Verse number 30. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. That's a tough word to say. Try that after church. The Thummim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. If you was to open up the breastplate that had been folded in two, if you was to open up the breastplate of Aaron, inside you would find our final two stones. They were the Urim and the Thummim. The word Urim and Thummim mean lights and perfections. These two stones were used by the high priest to determine the will of God. After traveling in the wilderness for 40 years and just before death, God gives instructions to Moses that he's to do two things. One, he's to set Joshua up as to be the next leader. And number two, he's to set Eleazar up to be the high priest. And speaking of Eleazar, the next high priest, God said to Moses, and he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall seek counsel for him before the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out. At his word shall they come in. Both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. He said, Eleazar shall use the Urim, the Thummim, to tell the children of Israel when to go out and when to come in. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David is inquiring before the Lord, and he wants to know whether to pursue the Philistines or whether not to pursue the Philistines. And in trying to determine God's will for the matter, he says, go get Abiathar, the high priest, and tell him to get the ephod and bring it and come to me. Because David knew if he brought the ephod, he would have the breastplate and he would have the Urim and the Thummim. And he could use those to help him determine whether he should pursue the Philistines or not. Now we know this. We know that these two stones were used in the duty of leading the people. What we don't know is how they worked. Some Bible commentators say that they were stones, and that the priest would look at them and determine by the way the light shone off of them what God's will was. Most believe, however, that there was a white stone and a black stone, and that the priest would stand before God and he would inquire before the Lord, and then would reach into that breastplate and pull out a white or a black stone to determine God's will. But we don't know. We don't know for sure. But we do know this. We know that today we do not have stones that help us to determine the Lord's will. There have been a few times I wish I could reach in my pocket and pull out a white stone or a black stone. I wish I could. But we don't have that. But we do have something that helps us determine God's will for our life. You know what it is? as the pages of the Word of God. Amen. You see, right here in His Word, God tells us what His desire is. God tells us what His purpose is for our lives. It's all right here. God gives us warnings about things. There's some black stones in here. Don't go this path. Don't go this way. There's some warnings in here. There's some things to avoid. There's some white stones. There's some principles where He says, go, do, serve. This is My will for you. This is the Urim and the Thummim for our lives today. The psalmist David rightly said in Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Through prayer and study of God's Word, in faith, we can follow the Lord's directions for our lives. Now, let me make two applications like I've done in the other two stones and I'm out of here. Number one, let me say that as the pastor, the priest, if you'll let me say it that way, I've been called upon to lead this church. And I need your prayer. I need you to pray that God would help me to do so because I don't know what God's mind is. But it's only through prayer and supplication and the Word of God meditation that I can try to find out which way to go. And I need you to stand with me on that. But number two, let me say that God has called upon you to be leaders as well. And it is your duty to be a leader in your home, a leader on your job, a leader in your community. You have the truth. You have the path, you have the way, and it is your job to show everybody that you come in contact the ways of God. Let me say this last of all. Five times in this section of Scripture, these words are mentioned. To minister unto me. To minister unto me. While it is true that the priest was to serve the people, his main obligation was to serve the Lord. And when I bear you upon my shoulders, and when you bear me upon your shoulders, you're doing me a service and I'm doing you a service. But ultimately we're serving Him. And when I have you on my heart and I love you and I care about you, and you love me in return, it's a blessing to me and it's a blessing to you. But most of all, we're serving Him. And when I try to give you direction and you help me pray about that, and you try to give your family direction and I help you pray about that, that's a good thing for both of us. But we're serving the Lord. You're well familiar with the story of Peter out by the campfire just before the Lord's ascension when the Lord questioned Peter three times. And each time, what was his question to Peter? It was always the same, wasn't it? Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? That was his question three times. Do you love me? And every time Peter responded, yes, the Lord's response was service. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. You see, God had a work for Peter to do. But none of the work mattered if the love thing wasn't right. And I have you on my shoulders. I have you on my heart. I have you in my pocket. Because I love you. But ultimately, because I love Him. And I wonder as we, Brother Scott, get a verse of invitation. Maybe there's somebody here and they need to pray about something. I don't know. Maybe you want to come pray for someone. Maybe you want to come pray for you. You want to come pray for me. Come pray for the church. Whatever it is. This altar's open while we sing a verse of invitation.